Adonijah tried to make himself king without asking his father or the Lord. But when he realized that his plan had failed, he took hold of the horns of the altar and begged for his life. Adonijah is a part of us. When we do something wrong, we too can take hold of the horns of the altar and beg for our spiritual lives. Why might we need the horns of the altar in the first place? Well, we might find ourselves being like Adonijah. Earlier in the story of Adonijah, we learn that he is spoiled and full of himself. In a similar way, there's a part of us that's like Adonijah, that wants to get our own way, that thinks we're better than other people, that thinks we don't need the Lord. And sometimes we have an opening to suddenly do things our way, to make us feel important, where we're thinking from our own ideas and our own perspective and not thinking from the Lord. Maybe we're with friends and people are joking around, and suddenly there's an opening to say something really clever and nasty. Or maybe we're arguing with a friend or a spouse, and we keep on insisting on our way again and again until the other person backs down. Or maybe we find ourselves always saying what we think people want to hear without really thinking about what's true. There are many times, many more than those examples, where a part of us jumps at the opportunity to be selfish. And in a moment, there's often a sense of need. The mean joke makes us feel clever and smart. Insisting on being right feels like we're making progress toward making things the way they should be. Saying what people want to hear can feel like, hey, we're getting along. We're making people do what we want them to do. Or we're getting what we need from them. Or maybe we're just staying safe. But then we hear the voice of conscience warning us that we're doing something wrong. Like Adonijah and his friends hearing this shout from the city, celebrating King Solomon. And we're reminded that we're not the king of our lives. The Lord is king, and he has rules, and we're breaking them. And when we realize this, it's a crucial moment. Because it does not feel good to feel that we're doing something wrong. And we might feel an urge to make that guilty feeling going away in all sorts of ways. We might want to justify ourselves, say, well, I deserve to be doing this. Or pretend that it's not really so bad. We might even double down on it and say, you know, it's too late. I'm already committed to this bad joke. But that would have been like Adonijah fighting to stay king because he was being too proud to give up. But he didn't fight. He wasn't too proud. He knew it was over. His followers slipped out one by one. When we notice that we are doing something wrong, we can realize, hey, this was a bad idea, and it failed. That sinking feeling that we have, the embarrassment, the shame, those icky feelings are a good sign that our spiritual life is in danger. And we're afraid. And it says that Adonijah feared Solomon. Solomon is a picture of the Lord. Fearing the Lord means being afraid of doing anything against his commandments. Fearing Solomon means realizing that nothing that we think is important or nothing that we think we need is more important than the Lord's truth. Whatever evil we find ourselves in, this is a matter of spiritual life and death. Mean jokes have contempt within them, and contempt is a kind of murder. Trying to get our way with a spouse or a friend destroys freedom because it's dominion, and freedom is essential to marriage and friendship. We're saying always what we think people want to hear instead of thinking about the truth. That weakens our conscience, and without our conscience, not even the Lord can save us. So when we realize we're doing something wrong, we need to stop it and fear Solomon. And then we need to run to the only place that can save us from ourselves, the altar of worship to Yahuwah. Why an altar? We want to be forgiven, just like Adonijah. And as we learned in our reading, the altar was where sins of the Israelites were purged, were washed away. And we have that guilty feeling. We want that to be washed away. on a natural level, we don't want to get in trouble. On a spiritual level, we don't just want to be free of guilt. We want to be free of the evils themselves. And the only thing that can really separate us from our evil is good. But when we're in evil, good seems very far away. When we're in contempt, we can't even imagine what charity is like. And so it's a good thing that good drives out evil by means of truth. Truth, that's something we can hold on to no matter what evil we're in. If we stop the evil, get a little bit of space, run to the horns of the altar, we can grab on to something tangible. We can remember a truth and know it's a lifeline back to good. So we take hold of the horns of the altar. Taking hold of the horns of the altar might look something like this. Suppose you notice that you're full of contempt for someone. It could be someone more important than you or less important than you. It doesn't matter. But you realize that you're in a state of contempt, and you know it's bad. But at the same time, maybe it feels kind of good. And you wonder, how on earth can I get out of this? So you run to the only place that can save you from yourself, good from the Lord. And to get there, you grab on to something tangible, a truth that comes from love, like maybe this one. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder," and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But whoever says, "You fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. Now that's something we can hold on to. Contempt is murder, and it's going to burn me up inside. And that's just the start. There are many truths that can help us, just as there are four horns of the altar, all kinds of truths. And we have two hands, so we can grab hold of the horns of the altar. And we can take a second truth, like maybe the teaching from the new church, that whenever we resist an evil within us, there's room in us for the opposite good to flow in from the Lord and drive out that evil for good. So we can grab hold of the horns of the altar no matter what evil we find ourselves in. These truths will lead us back to good. And we beg the Lord for his mercy to free us from our evils, just as Adonijah begged Solomon to spare his life. But would Solomon spare his life? Adonijah could have destroyed the kingdom by trying to be king. Could this be forgiven? What did Solomon say? "If he be a son of valor, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if evil be found in him, then he shall die." When we do something wrong, we threaten the Lord's kingdom around us and inside us. Can we be forgiven? Of course, the Lord wants to forgive us. But being forgiven actually means being separated from our evil. So when we take hold of the horns of the altar, what happens to us next depends on how attached to the evil we are and how persuaded we are by its lies. Are we sons of valor? Are we clear in our minds that that evil that suddenly came on us, that's from hell? Or will evil be found in us? Are we still kind of attached to it, still smoldering, still thinking it's good for us? If it's in the heat of the moment, then it is easy for the Lord to separate us from evil. In this case, not a hair of our head will fall to the ground. We can thank the Lord for his mercy, for clearly showing us that was from hell and I don't want any part of it. But maybe we did something wrong because we let an evil thought build up inside us. This kind of evil is corrosive and it breaks out when it has the chance. Maybe we'd been stewing with resentment or constantly comparing ourselves to other people. And so when we get a chance to say something clever or cruel or untrue, we jump at it because we've let that evil kind of become a part of us. And then it's not so easy to be free of it. Adonijah may need to die. When we give ourselves up to the truth, there's no guarantee that we'll like being judged. Part of us might even need to die. But the Lord is less concerned with our comfort and more concerned with our eternal happiness. As he says in Matthew, if your right eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is expedient for you that one of your members should perish and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. So when we notice we're doing something wrong, let's stop it quickly. It's okay if part of the reason we stop is that we don't want to get in trouble. That is a fine place to start. And that desire to not get in trouble is actually part of how the Lord governs us and brings us from a lower state up to a higher state. And then we stop doing the evil, and then we get our mind straightened out by going and taking hold of the horns of the altar. Those horns are truths that tell us what kind of person we don't want to be. Those horns are truths that also tell us what kind of person we do want to be. We hold on to those truths for dear life, and we don't let go until when? When is it safe to let go? When is it safe to stop keeping a truth in mind and keeping it in mind? When King Solomon sends for us. We hold on to the horns of the altar until we're no longer a threat to ourselves or to others. We hold on until our crazy thoughts have settled down. We cling to the truth until we can think clearly again and know that the Lord is King and His truth should rule us. And King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came in and bowed down to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, go to your house. Amen. Please rise. And now to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God of heaven and earth, be all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.